This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Monday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Older and fresher.
Older and fresher. Yeah, you had a birthday on Friday.
I did.
A Friday birthday. You guys did 1 hour show?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn and burn.
Yeah. A little turn and burn 1 hour show on Friday. That's a good little Friday for you.
Yeah, made Anthony Newman feel really old.
Well, I mean, for him, it was a good little
Why
Friday.
Did you make Q feel old?
I may or may not have brought up that when I was moving a couple years ago, that I found a t-shirt from...
Oh, from the great J.J. Burden Anthony Newman football camp?
And he was like, and you're 40 today? I was like, yeah, how you feeling? Yeah. He's like, damn old.
Damn old. Q is the best.
Yeah, no, great.
The nicest man. They are doo-doo. That's an all-time great drop on the Fan. That is
They're doo-doo also.
That's Anthony Newman right there. He does have a little Sam Elliott baritone to his voice.
Oh, he does. He's a deep one. Yeah.
But Anthony Newman is the nicest man in the world. And, like, it goes back to he and J.J. both. Mm-hmm. I mean, they put on a free camp.
For years.
Kids all over the community. Yeah, and it was like, it's when it kept growing, they weren't like, yeah, no, we need to slow this down. They're like, we need to find somewhere bigger.
Bigger,
yeah. We need to go somewhere bigger. Mm-hmm. And they brought NFL guys in, which, like, as a kid, like, we never saw that around here. Mm-hmm. Like, I became a Burt Emanuel fan because he coached me at the J.J. Burton Anthony Newman camp. And they brought guys in that, like, cared about it. Anthony Newman, all-time great guy.
No, Q is a great guy, and even going back to my old TV days, working on Talking Ducks, Q's a good dude.
I would never want to cross him, though, because he does have that, oh, I remember watching you play football, and goodness gracious.
Still not a small man.
No. He looks like he could give you a couple plays still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great dude. Gives back still. Love Anthony Newman. They lost this weekend, though. I know he wouldn't want me to bring that up.
Lake Oswego, right? Yeah, it was a big game this weekend.
Lake Westland. Well, I guess they don't lose very often.
Look, I guess if Q's going to have to take a loss, at least it's to a good dude like Steve Corey.
Another great dude. Another great human being.
Yeah.
Steve Corey is, I mean, his resume speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And again, another good dude that I've worked with on TV on our old CSN game day shows. And
Awesome.
Also one of the nicest people you will ever meet.
Yeah, you kind of want them to be jerks, right? Like, there was a time, like, when you're in high school and stuff, like, I built up, like, Ken Potter, Jesuits coach, mm-hmm. now the winningest coach in Oregon history. I built it up in my head that Ken Potter was a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Then I got to know Ken Potter.
I mean, because let's face it, Jesuit.
I know, it was Jesuit. It was Jesuit that I had the problem with. But in my brain, I was
for
like...
him and I specifically.
Yeah, you know, as a Beavertonian, let's face it.
Tell me. I know.
We want to hate the Jesbians.
I know all of this. Yeah. You want to hate Jesuit.
Yeah.
But then I got to know Ken Potter, and I was like, he's a nice guy.
And might make it worse.
It does.
Can we talk about like Faustin Riley or something?
Faustin Riley, also great dude. Love Faustin Riley.
And
former Beaverton coach.
Yeah, and Boyer.
Bob Boyer.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
No, the list of
good Beaverton coaches.
The list of good coaches out here is actually quite long.
And good dudes.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, good coaches and good dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. But having a good high school coach is important. I think we undervalue that in what like they mean to you down the road. Like,
my running back coach still talks to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I talk to my high school coach, we did not see eye to eye when we were in high school a lot. I was in high school.
No, I 100% there. I had there to was apologize a, to Bob Boyer.
There was a lot of rewind, press play, rewind, press play. Young man, if you ever do that again, you're never going to play at Glencoe High School. To my credit, I kept finding new things to do. But there was a lot of that going around. But to this day, every time I see my coach, tell him I love him.
Yeah.
I do. You know, having a high school coach that has that impact on you, it is it lasts forever mm-hmm. in everything that you do.
Yes.
So that we got some good ones around here.
I still remember being like an eighth grade basketball player, and I got a letter from an old Beaverton High School head coach and athletic director, Nick Robertson.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to tell me that how he wanted me to try out for the team and that I was not good. So they clearly sent that to everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nick Robertson, another
but
legend.
You remember that.
I do remember that.
Sweet. See, that's great.
Yeah.
These are formative years, right?
They are. Mm-hmm. They are the formative years. And if you get a good one, go ahead.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. All right. Wow.
Here we are. It's Monday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You had a short show on Friday. That's how we got there.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
That's how we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way.
Because I was birthdaying hard.
Yeah, you did. It was your birthday. Okay, we need to talk about your midlife crisis that's happening right now. Can we have the intervention right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we do it? Mm. All right. It was about a year ago, around this time, mm-hmm. you said, hey, I think I'm going to become chain guy again. Yeah. I said, yeah, that's cool. I mean, if you're going to rock a chain, rock a gold chain. Like, have it. Mm-hmm. You come back in after this weekend, and you have earrings back in again. Danny, it is not 2000.
Yeah,
it's
2000,
not the year 2000 anymore. What is going on? You're earrings guy again. Diamond earrings man.
I am. I mentioned it to my wife. I was like, you know what? I kind of feel like tossing them back in. I don't know, probably like 3 months ago. And I never did. And then
look, if I'd have known, I'd have joined the party.
Right?
I'd have put mine back in. I got three in one side and two in the other.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had multiple, but I just went with the single studs.
Do you want to go to a Dave Matthews concert soon, Ross?
No, not anymore. I've been to four of those in the past.
The answer to that question is always yes.
With five earrings in your ear. I can assure you that happened with five earrings in your ear.
Although I still only have, only four of them are still viable.
Okay.
Yeah, no, these were still viable.
Okay.
But, my wife gave me a birthday present. It was... I use our Pac-12 Media Day 2022 tote bag
as my
lunch bag.
All right.
And she hates it.
Okay.
She's like, it looks weird. So she got me like a really, really nice, like insulated lunch bag.
Okay.
And she's like, open that. And I opened that up, and inside a little pouch in there is a jewelry box.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? I thought, like, did she get me another chain? Like, I had no idea what she had got me.
Puka shells.
Yeah, well, those are
well, we're not that far off.
Lose a few more pounds, so it's not like a choker.
All right.
and I open it up, and it's diamond earrings.
Okay.
I got a half carat in each ear.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're rocking the diamond earrings again.
Yeah.
This is going to be a permanent thing.
Yeah. I like it. I got the hair is long, losing the weight, earrings in, you know. Maybe do like a little Botox in the forehead. I don't know.
One step away from a Mazda Miata.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
we did joke about a new car. Like,
Mazda Miata away. Yeah.
I already have the sports car. My wife has the 350Z.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, it's a fun car, but you know we're working towards family life.
Uh-huh.
I was with like a T-top IROC or something.
I had one of those in high school.
Ooh.
I had a 90.
The old eagle on the front hood, like Ponch.
I had a 91 RS that we swapped the engine out of. we started talking about cars on the way to dinner Saturday night. And that's when the realization hit me. I was like, I brought this up at dinner, and I was like, I think this is like a midlife crisis. The hair, the weight, the earrings.
I'm here to tell you.
It definitely
from the
is.
Outside, it looks like it too,
pretty,
my man.
Pretty much sounds like it.
From the outside and the inside, you have all the markings of this man is in a midlife crisis.
Yeah, you've got confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, we were talking about car, and you know.
Boy, this is really going to hit you hard. Yeah. Like most guys have that midlife crisis as your kids are getting older. Mm-hmm. Your marriage isn't what it once was. Like your marriage is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You don't have kids yet, mm-hmm. and you're already there.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I thought there was like a better than like 25% chance that I wouldn't make it to 40.
Yeah, I think where you're at right now is like you just blew past the first marriage and first set of kids.
Yeah.
Like you're in the midlife crisis where you get remarried and then you have another kid and
there
it's like, whoa, what? Danny's got a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, and now he's firmly on the watch list for the old, firmly on the watch list for the old Law and Order SVU episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, it's happening.
I'm not going to let you get plugs in your ears.
I would never do that. That's what I would. No.
I mean, every teenager says that.
No,
Danny.
I never do the gauge.
Then they are. You're never going to do the gauge.
No. I pierced the cartilage. I got bored one day when I was in high school,
uh-huh.
and I just iced it down for about 5 minutes. Yeah. And there's still a little bump there
because
I just took a stud and shoved it through.
Boy, are you going to get a motorcycle?
No, I did that already.
Okay.
I had one when I was in the Air Force, and I had speed wobbles at 160 miles an hour,
yeah.
and my butthole puckered so hard, it damn near inverted.
I think the Vancouver Ford text line is going to fix your problem. You're going to buy time to buy a three-wheeled motorcycle and a leather eight-ball jacket. You're going to go with the trike!
Yeah,
That's called the Can-Am, whatever.
Yeah, the Can-Am one. Yeah, they have a weird name for it. No, I would. Number one, those things are like death traps. I would never. If I actually did go back to the motorcycle,
yeah.
I would get an actual motorcycle, but I wouldn't have one in Oregon.
Well, that and we got P2 Jim on the old Vancouver Ford text line too with the Billy Squire.
Mm. On the Alpine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I would never own a motorcycle in Oregon because people here don't know how to deal with them. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, talk about other people and the weather, it's just not good enough.
Yeah.
But when I was in Texas and Florida, yeah. Meow. No, but I had speed, my speedometer went.
California, where every day there's traffic because of somebody dying on a motorcycle.
Yes.
I don't think anybody really is great for the motorcycle riders out
Florida
there.
Florida and Texas are pretty good.
I was on my way home after the old Oregon Ducks coverage on Friday evening, once I get out of here about kick. And, coming back up 26 from the tunnel, like, past the zoo, there was a couple of crotch rockets, and they were right on each other, doing about 100, just weaving in and out of traffic. It was
super
fun.
You take that line out of context there, and, boy, that's a drop and a half, my dude.
It's tough.
Got a thing for crotch rockets?
All right. Well, Danny, I'm here for you.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, I will not be joining you in your. This is like what you're doing is like when my wife became a vegan, where I told her,
"I'll support you.
I will support you. I will not participate in this venture." Yeah. Right?
I can't blame you on that.
Coward.
I will throw earrings in, and it is only when my daughter is like, "Dad, can you hold these?" I'm like, "You know where I'm
holding them."
Yeah,
put them right back. Okay, I'll take them. It's like that's how you get your kid to take some back to their room.
Yeah,
in a hurry. It's just like, nope. All right. Soccer game. It's like, you know where I. And she's like, no. Mm-hmm. Going in the backpack.
There you go.
She'll remember where to take
those. Throw the danglies in and shake your head.
That's right. Yeah. Just throw the hoops in and I'm good.
Is Danny going to come in tomorrow with a FUBU shirt, Junko jeans, and frosted tips?
I never
Jinkos,
did the
Jinkos. Danny and Jinkos.
I never did the Jinkos. I did cross the line. I did
upside down visor.
I did do visor. Didn't never went upside down. Did have a FUBU hat. Never had a FUBU shirt. I had the North Carolina
for us by us.
Yeah, look, man. I had the North Carolina blue FUBU hat.
Oh man,
it went with the jersey. All right,
it did go with the jersey.
It went with the Ed Cota number 5 jersey.
Oh man,
it all came together. But yeah, no, I was definitely never JNCOs. But cargo pants, cargo shorts. Yeah, no, 100%.
Okay.
We all were. Don't try to admit it. Don't admit
no, I
it.
Never. No, I there. Never once owned anything FUBU. Sorry.
I agree with that.
I knew exactly what my lot in life was.
Yeah.
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 Tribal armband tattoo. No, I'm not going to go armband.
Yeah. No,
well, yet.
Yeah.
But no.
Give it another year. Every year, we add something to it.
I'm still one of those without a single tattoo. So. Yeah.
I have been working on one. I'm going to get. One, a shoulder cap goes basically top of my shoulder, probably down to the bottom of my bicep.
All right.
So that's coming.
My wife and I, we might be one of the last couples on the planet at our age that neither one of us has ink.
Yeah, so my wife doesn't have any.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
My lower back just littered.
Littered with tramp stamps?
No, I just have one regrettable tattoo. No.
Is it your neck and your back?
All right. Well, congratulations on this next step in your midlife crisis.
Yeah, right?
You know, I'm happy for you.
It's going to be fun.
I'm happy for you. So if you see the glimmer on his ears, your computer screen isn't off.
Just keep on shining, baby.
Those, in fact, are little diamond earrings Danny's mm-hmm. got in his ear. And I don't know. Well, I think the text line, the Vancouver Ford text line, is split on whether it will be a sports car or a motorcycle.
I can't. My legs are too busted to do motorcycles.
Well, so it is a.
When it comes to the three wheel, are we talking the trike or like the spider with the two wheels up front?
Two wheels up front.
I won't go either of those. I won't.
I would do the trike myself.
No, they're death traps, man. I'm telling you, they roll over.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a dumbass.
No, I'm just telling you. They have a major... like that's why the trikes, they stopped selling the off-road trikes, because they would just roll over.
Look, you know what? When I was a kid, we had the three-wheelers, and we did fine. We all survived.
Yeah.
We all survived. Uncle Stubbs with his
four fingers.
Uncle Spud was not on one of the three-wheelers. We had the little...
That's right. That was a washing machine accident.
Exactly.
Bring back the dryer jerseys.
My dad had his fast one. My mom had the big, like, slow, like, fat-tired one. And then my brother and I, we each had the little tri-zingers.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you guys.
Badass going down to Sand Lake.
Just ripping around.
Absolutely.
All right. All right.
You just had to make sure you didn't hit the tire tracks straight on. You had to go on an angle.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, you'd wreck.
That's right.
My brother learned that the hard way.
Okay, so everybody was fine except for when your brother wrecked.
You know. Yeah.
All right.
Explains a lot now.
Yeah, he's a doctor. Are you sure you're not the one that wrecked Rust?
Look, no, he's a dentist. And yes, I am sure I am not the one that wrecked. Damn it.
He was going to be a brain surgeon until that. Now he's just a dentist.
Well, he was like Dale. He wanted to go into the family business.
You know, one good hard
Johnny
wreck.
Hopkins. Me and Johnny
the,
Hopkins.
The problem is I got high with Johnny Hopkins.
These things happen.
All right. Let's get this show on the road. We got a lot to get to today, baby. We have got NFL. We got an NFL palooza that we need to get to. Got a lot of college football. Is Lincoln Riley on the hot seat?
Ooh, buddy.
Injuries galore across the National Foosball League.
Right.
Yep. And then we got some quarterback play up and down, up and down. Can we put this to rest before we do anything, though? Are we still worried about the scoring in the NFL? It feels like we found our level. It feels like we're seeing NFL scores again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
It feels like scoring is back. The panic early in the year, offenses adjust, defenses adjust.
I mean, the Panthers and Giants are outliers. We just don't consider them.
Yeah, their offense is offensive.
Yeah.
So that when you have that, them, and so are the Titans. I'm going to lump the Titans in there and the Cleveland Browns in there too. Ooh, yes, yeah. Jeff.
I would just like to say I went 3-1 this weekend, and both of my big ass spreads that I picked that Danny gave me crap for, I won them both.
Hey, look at that.
Hey.
Look at that. We had another hot weekend.
We did.
I went 4-0 again, 15-1. 15-1 over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's hot.
Decent. Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, 15-1.
That Hansel, he's so hot right now.
So fade me this week. That's all that means. Fade me this week. We had a good week on the picks all the way around, the whole show.
Yeah, I think I only lost one.
I think you were 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. Yeah.
Is that what you went?
Yeah.
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 I got the Seahawks and Falcons backwards. I expected the Falcons to do a lot better.
I managed to pick the Jaguars wrong again. I'm not sure I've gotten one of their games right all year.
Well, come on. If I would have been here, I would have talked you out of taking the Patriots.
Yeah. What
are you doing?
Well, I was like +5.5. I'm like, I'm not sure the Jaguars can outscore anybody by 6 points.
What?
Come
on, son.
Yeah.
It's London. That's like an extra home game.
I know, but that was my rationale last week when they played the Bears too, and they got smoked.
All right, but where we got to start this bad boy off? There is a new number one in college football. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Thanks, Georgia. There's a new number one in the college football top 25, and it is the Oregon Ducks. I'm 59 of the 61 first place votes in the AP Top 25, 51 of 53 in the coaches' Top 25, and I think the Oregon Ducks can thank the Georgia Bulldogs for that,
indeed,
everybody.
Which we can talk about Texas-Georgia in a little bit, but yeah, Ducks.
Well, I mean, we could talk about that Texas-Georgia game right now because that is the reason why Oregon is number one. We talked about this last week, right? Mm-hmm. There was some fans of Oregon. Hell, I thought it would be the part that was astonishing to me was the media members on the national level that were saying, hey, Oregon should be getting a little bit more credit because they have the best win in college football this year. They should be number one. But last week, the whole thing was, dude, just let this whole thing play out. Because
Texas hadn't done nothing to fall down. They beat the brakes off Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry.
And look, if they shouldn't be unseated as number one until they do something that says you shouldn't be number one. It was week seven. And right now, like, it is great. Oregon being ranked the number one team in the country, they're getting they're getting their flowers for having the most impressive resume of the unbeatens to this point, right? When you look at their strength of schedule and the strength of opponents, of the unbeaten teams, they are, I mean, I don't think it's particularly close. I think Oregon has played, I was reading a Ross Dellinger article today, Oregon has played the 28th toughest schedule, and Penn State's is 57th.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the other one that you're going to look at. Miami, I think, has played the 45th toughest schedule. And then BYU has played the 32nd toughest schedule. Yeah. BYU's not getting enough credit.
No.
But they don't have that marquee win.
Yeah, most of the top
Oregon has a marquee win in there.
Most of the top 10 teams in the country have not played a difficult schedule.
No. But
it gets more difficult during the final 5 weeks.
No different than any other year in college football. And that's why, you know, being the number one ranked team in the country is a great thing for your fan base. It means nothing right now.
It doesn't mean anything until the final 3 weeks.
Look, at 6:45 tonight, Dan Lanning will have his weekly press conference, and it'll be the first one that he speaks to the media, first time he speaks to the media since Oregon has been ranked number one. And you can almost, like, you telegraph this one.
It doesn't matter.
All the way to the bank. Yeah, I guess that's cool for everybody else, but for us, it means nothing. We're just going to keep on rolling along. It is really good, though, to be acknowledged as the number one team in the country, and it's been a really long time since Oregon's been ranked number one. I mean, it's 2013, I think, was the last time Oregon was ranked number one. That's a long stretch. It's a decade.
Can I say something?
Yes, you
and
can.
I don't want to poop on it. This is not meant to poop on anything.
No,
because I'm not a party pooper. I don't poop at parties. I feel like somehow this will get pooped on because of the down years that, like, Alabama and Georgia are having. And so people will look at this as a year where, like, oh, well, somebody else had to go be number one because those guys had a down year. So it's not really the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, who cares?
No.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be. But look, in the grand scheme of things, every year you have that revolving door around the top of teams. And again, being ranked number one at week eight, or heading into week nine, I guess it is, after 8 weeks, it's great.
It's fantastic.
But it does not really mean anything unless you finish this thing off. And that's the hardest thing to do is now you legitimately have the bullseye on your back. They have done everything in their power to earn the number one ranking, right? Which is you beat everybody on your schedule. You beat Ohio State. That's a hallmark win. Hang your hat on that kind of win. But this is just kind of the way that it is. And I think the bigger thing, if you're looking at the landscape of college football right now, there are four first round byes in the college football playoff. They only go to the four highest rated conference champions. Right now, what you can say that Oregon has done is that they are positioning themselves to have a shot at one of those because everybody else is just eating each other alive.
Yeah. This is what I said when Oregon beat Ohio State, is they have put themselves to have a chance to be one of the top two teams in the country. If they continue handling business, if they win out between now and the end of the season, they will be in the conversation for one of the top two spots.
And I think that one thing Oregon has done, and I thought Friday night kind of highlighted this, is that Oregon is, they have avoided the stub-your-toe slip-up games, right? they came out sluggish early in the season, and when your wins are not as impressive as the what people had hoped them to be, meaning you win by 10 against Idaho, you have a close one against Boise State. Mm-hmm. Oregon had offensive line issues that they were rectifying. Since then, they have played like one of the best teams in college football.
Can we, just for my own purposes and maybe some others out there, the four first round byes, like you just said, I believe go to the top four highest ranked conference champions.
Yeah.
Not just the Power Four conference champions.
All of them.
Well, because it could be, could it not be a group of what have you?
Yeah. Champion you, that well, pops I in? Mean, right now that would be Boise State.
Right.
Is who that would be, but they need to be ranked higher than the Big 12 or the ACC.
But it could champion. Happen.
It very, saying, yes. very well could happen.
Because I've heard people say that, no, it's only the Power Four conferences.
Yeah, no. That, it yeah. is the four highest rated conference champions.
That's what I thought. Just wanted to make that clear.
That is why Notre Dame cannot be one of those mm-hmm. teams ever.
Yeah, join a conference, dudes.
Yep. But it does kind of, and right now, it would not be Boise State. Right now, it would be an ACC Big 12 team because they're still there.
But it could happen.
It very easily could happen. And I think this is where you go down the road of do not stub your toe. You've afforded yourself a little bit of leeway because just look around the landscape of college football. It is really hard to go unbeaten. I mean, we talk about it like it's easy, but because every year we have a Georgia, Alabama, or a Clemson, or an Ohio State, or a Michigan that does it, it is so damn hard to do. And we're at entering week 9. There's only 10 teams left in all of college football that are unbeaten.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it from, all right, who are these teams and where are they from? Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Iowa State, BYU, Indiana, Pitt. 7 of them are from Power Four conferences. Okay. 3 of them from the Big Ten.
Yep.
And then you have 2 from the Big 12. 2 from the ACC.
Mm-hmm. What's missing?
It's the SEC. Mm. The SEC. Well, and they're going to tell you it's because we all play nothing but good teams, pal. Right? It's really hard to go unbeaten, especially in this era and this landscape, because you look at it and
as
you go,
players have been flattened out across the country.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Competition is the most quote unquote equal that it's been.
And this is where the transfer portal, the people that have railed against the transfer portal the most are the ones that have been adversely affected mm-hmm. by it, right? Nick Saban in Alabama, it was because he couldn't stockpile the talent
anymore.
Kirby Smart, it's because you can't stockpile that talent.
Oh, everybody doubted us. Nobody believed in us.
That was a Georgia. Hell of a win. That was a hell of a win. And you know what? Kirby may not be wrong, but he sounds...
Well, maybe not this week.
Absolutely but... ludicrous, because with Oregon being number one, by the way, if you don't know the rest of the top 25, Oregon is one, Georgia 2. Penn State has jumped up to 3rd. They are 6-0 on the season, and they take the meat of their schedule is still ahead of them with Wisconsin on the road this weekend. Then they have Ohio State at home. So they've got 2 big ones in a row that they need to figure out before, you know, they start getting anointed. They have a Ohio State Michigan problem. Mm-hmm. They kind of have for a lot of years. Ohio State is 4th. Texas is 5th with Miami at 6th. And then Tennessee, huge win over Alabama. And they are melting down in Tuscaloosa.
That game,
right now.
Ooh, they are.
Gutsy.
They're about ready to lynch Kalen DeBoer, aren't they?
They are 5-2. Mm-hmm. And it is like the world is crashing down on them.
And their losses are to who?
You hate to see it.
Well, Vanderbilt.
I would say Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
In Tennessee.
The state of Tennessee
owns Alabama right now. Not
buying,
sitting well.
Buying real estate.
LSU is 8th, Clemson 9th, and Iowa State rounds out the top 10 in college football's top 25 of the AP poll. Let's talk about that Georgia-Texas game, though, because what a doozy. There's one reason why Oregon is ranked number one. And it is because Georgia went into Austin and they slammed the door shut.
Well, to be fair, there's 2 reasons why they're number one.
On the Texas Longhorns. That after Rust with SportsCenter. Georgia Bulldogs rolled into Austin, Texas, And they racked it up early, taking a 23-0 lead into halftime. Boy, that kind of felt like Georgia went in with the mentality that Alabama did in their that meeting that handed Georgia their first loss, where Bama went up 28-0 early. It was like a blink of an eye. Turnovers left and right. You get points on the board, and you just kind of put your foot on the gas and say, all right, we're going to white-knuckle this thing to the bitter end here. That was a great football game that we saw between the Georgia Bulldogs and Texas Longhorns because of the fact that defense of Georgia looked like it fixed itself. And then Georgia, I mean, to Texas' credit, they came out in the second half, their third quarter.
Looked like a different team.
They looked like a completely different team. But it just like Georgia did to Alabama, right?
Yep. And I think this game was really interesting because Georgia's offense was god-awful. It was not good. Carson Beck was very bad. Running the ball, they were below average. And you have to give credit, again, to Texas' defense. But when you force Texas into a truckload of turnovers, they have four turnovers, three fumbles and a pick, and then that doesn't count.
Three fumbles, three strip sacks.
Strip sacks, yes.
I mean, yeah. You got to the quarterback.
Jalen Walker was a man possessed.
You got to Texas's quarterback seven times. Seven. Yeah. And look, their offense has been playing at an insanely efficient and high level. Their defense has been really good all season long. And this is like, it kind of played out more the way that I was anticipating Ohio State to play out, not the scoring rhythm of that game, because that was just all over the place. But
the disruption?
The turnovers,
yeah,
right? Where the defensive lines, I thought Ohio State and Oregon were going to come out, and you were going to see two defenses wreck havoc on offenses that have been wildly efficient all season long.
You'd hear Mateo's name, you'd hear Sawyer's name, and it would kind of be like, oh, these guys are going to be super disruptive. I mean, Jalen Walker was that guy for Georgia. He just got back there and bloodied and bludgeoned Texas quarterbacks, whether it was Arch or Quinn Ewers. So you have the three fumbles, you have the interception, and then they went 1 for 5 on fourth down conversions. Mm-hmm. That's 8 turnovers.
Yep.
You can't, and then you throw in 5 punts. You can't give Georgia the ball back that many times.
No, but on the same token,
13 times you gave the ball back to Georgia?
That was Georgia's defense forcing that issue too, right?
No, for sure. And look, Georgia did enough to win this game with the short fields and punching the ball in, but Georgia's offense, as good as their defense is, their offense looked as bad.
And I thought, though, this is the marker of a championship team, though.
In a
high caliber team. In that second half, like there was this moment, right, where it was right after the Carson Beck pick, right? They go short field, 2 plays, touchdown. It's 23-15. And you're going, oh, all right. Is Texas gonna be game here? Are they gonna make this thing a fight? And then what did Georgia respond with? An 11-minute, 90-yard 5-minute drive where they just went, all right, we're gonna show you what a championship caliber team does. And at that point, it went from 23-15, Texas has life. Mm-hmm. You have a death march drive like that where the offense had not been great all day long. As a whole, Georgia's offense was not great. But what do great football teams do? They suffocate you in
they
those moments.
They find that one.
And they made that drive. And then right afterwards, what does the defense do? It was like, all right, Texas, if you're going to play in this one, we're going to see how much you got, how much sand in your shorts you got. Strip sack done. Boom. At that point, I was like, game over.
And I thought,
because it went touchdown Texas, or interception Georgia, touchdown Texas, and then Texas went, we are not losing this game.
Georgia.
Georgia said, we're not losing this game. Touchdown, fumble, strip sack.
Game.
Good luck.
And I think you had a spark point that could have gone a different way is when Georgia did get down to the 1-yard line and got stuffed twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they wall up there and they stuff at the end one more time, what happens then? Now, yes, you got to go 99, but does the old bow start steamrolling the other way?
Great teams do it.
But I think those are the those flashpoints that you have to hit.
Well, and then Kirby Smart after the game gave everybody the, huh?
Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us. Nobody believed us. And then they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field?
To win.
Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent,
hell yeah, coach.
Our intent was to eat.
I'm just a kid from Akron. I'm not even supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, he's referring to everybody on College Game Day picked Texas. I thought the greatest tweet of the entire weekend was on Friday night. Somebody tweeted out, look, this is cruel to have Georgia have to go to play Texas and then have an F1 race in Austin the same weekend. With the driving issues that Georgia's had, are we serious right now? You have an F1 race running through the town and you're going to bring Georgia in that weekend? Oh my goodness.
That's brutal. But also, this is the kind of thing that you do as a coach of a top program.
You manufacture.
You make it up. Nobody believes in us. Yeah, okay, Kirby. Yeah. You're the only one of three coaches in the country with a national title, but sure.
Yeah.
Nobody believes in you.
Now, there was a chance that Texas could have, you know, in the third quarter, we were like, ooh, could they win this game? That is the most lopsided loss for a number one team at home since 1982.
30-15?
Yeah, well, 15 points.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah, 15-point loss for a number one team at home. The most lopsided since Dan Marino and the Pitt Panthers went into Notre Dame and won 31-16 in 1982.
Well, which brings us back to the question, is Texas back?
They're still pretty good.
They're still pretty good. But what Kirby Smart was saying there, though, they tried to screw us over with all those calls. What in the hell was that?
You're lucky more flags weren't thrown your way.
Hold on.
Your team was a dumpster fire.
What he's talking about is the pass interference that gets overturned as they're cleaning up the field because Texas fans throw bottles all over the field.
Yeah.
First of all, that's not supposed to happen.
No, also...
He has a good point there.
Yes, but also Texas has been fined $200,000 by the SEC for that.
That's nothing to Texas.
It's not, but it's still funny.
It's nothing to Texas's football team either.
No.
All that means is that, women's water polo loses $200,000 from their budget. I mean, it's nothing to Texas football. They're not going to... This doesn't affect Texas football.
It's true.
But that was one of the all-time most bizarre plays ever.
Mm-hmm.
And now Saints fans are like, that's what we needed to do?
Just get messy?
We needed to, when the Rams, blatant PI, all we needed to do was just litter the field with bottles, and then of a sudden that would have given enough time to say, this is not a good thing, we may not make it out of here alive. Overturn it!
New Orleans, place notorious for bottles, so.
Yeah. It is.
Could have happened.
He's throwing those long, hurricane bottles out there on just wheeling those things.
Careful using that word in New Orleans.
What?
Hurricane.
No, that's their drink of choice, man. Yeah. The hurricane, the long bottle what are those called?
A bong.
The yard?
Yeah, it basically is a bong. Yeah. A yard.
It's a yard, yeah. The hurricane, that's a good old rum drink.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. P1 Jordan, Vancouver 4 text line. Oh, no. Texas got fined the equivalent of a third defensive back. Pull that out of the old NIL right there.
I would say Alabama or Georgia. The average NIL for one of them, I can't remember which one it was, is $250,000. So,
yeah.
Not wrong.
Well,
There
you go. Took a little bit out of the coffers there.
Mm.
All right. That was a great game. That was an incredible game. But we have one thing that we need to tie up before we move on to some National Football League. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right. If you were listening on Friday night to the post-game scoreboard show with Will Ordner and Ryan Buckley, Jordan Schultz, you heard the Bellagio's very best player of the game. Now is your time to text 503-864-6326 with your answer to the Bellagio's very best player of the game. The first person to correctly identify the Bellagio's very best player of the game, it gets a free delicious pizza from Bellagio. Dough and sauce made fresh 6 days a week right here in Wilsonville, and proud to be serving the Northwest community since 1996. Order online at bellagiospizza.com or through the app. You can visit 1080thefan.com for complete contest details. The Bellagio's very best player of the game. Go ahead, text 503-864-6326. 6. It may not be the guy you think. Look, these people are just guessing right now. Guess is coming in. We still have not got the Bellagio's very best player of the game. You guys are way off. It was not Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel was pretty good, though.
Was pretty good, but also very much not needed.
He wasn't that first half, man. I'll tell you, like you get a sense when you interview the coach Dan Lanning at halftime there. So he was coming off the field. You would have never guessed they were up 21-0.
Really?
Oh no. He was fired up, man, because of the way that first half ended. Like when he says it's Ducks versus Ducks, we play to our own expectation. The fact that they went after going up 21-0, Purdue got the ball, drove down the field, and had a makeable field goal that they missed in the second quarter. Then Oregon goes punt, interception on their final two drives. Purdue also, they went down the field and they were in position to put points on the board, and Oregon forced a fumble. And Kobe Savage ended up recovering it. At that point, it was like they played really well out of the gate, but then like there was this lull where they were opening the door for Purdue to get back into it. He was none too happy with his Ducks heading into the break. They end up winning 35-0. Yeah, it's the first road shutout since 1992.
Yeah. Turns out the Purdue head coach, just learning the verbiage of the offense, was mildly problematic for their offense.
When is the last time you saw a team not a service academy go an entire quarter without attempting a pass? Purdue did it. They did not attempt a pass until I think it was like the 11-minute mark of
the second quarter.
It was the 11-minute mark of the second quarter until they attempted a pass. And Ryan Brown, he can run. He gave Oregon fits. He was good with his play fakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two fakes on every play. Like, he was efficient in that. But they just did not want to throw the ball at all.
I mean, very clearly, they can't.
No, they can't. But 35-0, shutting out a team, very hard to do.
Yeah, and you get out of there clean and injury-free.
Yeah, think about this. Oregon's played a lot of bad teams on the road. They have had some really good teams that they have taken on the road. That being the first road shutout since 1992, that is, and I don't think it's inarguable at this point, since the last road shutout, which was at Oregon State in 92.
Wow.
Oregon's best teams in their entire program's history have all been after that time. And none of them
have done that.
Well, I mean, 94, you had the Gang Green defense. You had the D-Boys in the early 2000s. You had two teams that went and played for national titles. And
it's
none
difficult
of them,
to shut people out in football. It doesn't happen.
It's hard to do, man.
Like in the scheme, 60 minutes, somebody's going to stumble across some points. It just happens. Like, you know?
Yeah, it takes a lot of luck, like missing a field goal or, you know, Kim Alexander with a great pick at the end to seal and preserve the shutout. Like, that was a great performance, and I hope by me saying that maybe somebody gets it, and we still do. Oh, hey, we got one in there. Yeah, it was Tatum Tuioti.
Yep,
Tatum Tuioti was the Bellagio's very best player of the game. So congratulations to that person who texted in Tatum Tuioti,
who's been really good the last couple weeks.
And six also, tackles, a sack.
Also, shout out to that texter. He spelled it correctly too.
Yeah,
shout out the Googles.
Congratulations to the Tuioti family.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny.
Well, yeah. I heard it was not pronounced correctly on the television broadcast. Which,
not the first time that's happened to an Oregon.
Oh, like Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right.
And shout out to promotions goddess Tara, too, because I asked her, I was like, how correctly does this name have to be spelled? And she's like, as long as they're there.
As long as we know.
Yeah.
As long as we know.
As long as they ballpark it.
All right. Hey, we got a lot of NFL in hour number two that we need to get to, including our worst day on the web, which is, wow. I don't know how you get to this point. Also in hour number two, we've got to get to your USC Trojans. I'm sorry, but we got to do
this. Oh, no, we definitely do.
This is bad.
It's not great, Bob.
We're going to do a little Big Ten whip around there at 1:15 where we'll go to USC losing to Maryland.
Yikes. Yikes. It's not in basketball.
Hey, somebody is back, though. And this is a little bit of a surprise. Danny Dusty on the Fan.